the J-Talk Podcast.
Yosh, 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 yosh.
Hello and welcome to the J-Talk Podcast. I'm Ben Maxwell, flying solo this week, but after a massive Sunday of J-League action with all 9 games in J1 Match Day 31 and all 11 in J2 Match Day 40 taking place on the 10th, there's plenty for me to talk to myself about. There was high drama at the top of J1, a first ever relegation for a former league powerhouse, and a shuffling of the mid-table pack, while in the second tier there was finally clarity in the title race, both automatic promotion spots confirmed, movement in and around the playoff places, and important results in the race to avoid a relegation playoff. Let's start with J1, and the title race is poised for a fascinating conclusion after some surprise results and late drama in match day 31. Leaders Yokohama began the day with a 2-point advantage at the top, but after a shock 2-1 home loss to Nagoya in a 1 o'clock kickoff, they looked set to slip to second when Urawa led 3-2 going into second half stoppage time in the late game up in Sendai, only for Vegalta defender Naoki Ishikawa to fire home a dramatic 92nd minute equaliser through a ruck of Reds' bodies to rescue a point for the hosts and leave F Marinos on top, but with their lead cut in half. Defending champions Hiroshima also failed to capitalise on Yokohama's defeat and missed their chance to return to the summit when they had to come from behind to earn a point at Nabisco Cup winners Kashiwa. At the Nissan Stadium, Yokohama were missing captain and likely league player of the year Shunsuke Nakamura, but came close to scoring early on when Manabu Saito's shot was deflected onto the bar by Grampus defender Shohei Abe. But it was the visitors who took an early lead when Josh Kennedy scored his 12th of the season and 5th from the penalty spot in the 8th minute after a cross bounced into the box and struck F. Marino's defender Yuji Nakazawa's arm. Nakazawa's partner in central defence, Yuzo Kurihara, wasted a chance to head his team level late in the half after Seitaro Tomisawa's shot was tipped onto the bar by Seigo Narazaki. But 6 minutes after half-time, Shingo Hyodo took a brilliant through ball from Saito and finished calmly past Narazaki to level things up. Yokohama were caught cold almost straight from the restart though, and Jungo Fujimoto's low drive crept in under J1 MVP for October, Tetsuya Enomoto's body, to restore Nagoya's advantage, and despite pushing for another equaliser, Yokohama could find no way through as they lost for the first time since the end of August, and at home for the first time all season. Third-placed Hiroshima kicked off at the same time at Kashiwa, and with Yojiro Takahagi pulling the strings, they came close to scoring on several occasions in the first half. Takahagi hit the post with an early free kick, and then just before half-time he dribbled into the box before squaring for Hisato Sato to tap home, only for last season's leading scorer to be correctly flagged offside. The first half ended scoreless, and then in the 74th minute the hosts took the lead when midfielder Tetsuro Ota, making just his second start of the season, arrived at the far post to fire past Shusaku Nishikawa in the Hiroshima goal after a deep cross from the left was flicked on by Hiroyuki Taniguchi. The champions were only behind for 5 minutes though, and Toshihiro Aoyama curled in a brilliant leveller from 25 yards after Takahagi's backheel found him in acres of space. Hiroshima then went after a winner in the last 10 minutes, but had to settle for a point that leaves them 2 behind Yokohama with 3 games left to play. In the late game at the Yurtech Stadium, Urawa knew a win would take them top for the first time all season, but they fell behind in just the second minute when Wilson's shot from inside the D squirmed under Reds' red-faced keeper Norihiro Yamagishi. Just 4 minutes later, it was 1-1 after Tsukasa Umesaki's neat turn and finish, the Reds' number 7 marking his first start since the end of July with a lovely equaliser. And just past the half-hour mark, they took the lead when Shinzo Kuroki pounced on a loose ball in the 6-yard box and fired past Takuto Hayashi. 2 minutes into the second half, it was Sendai's turn to equalise when Shingo Akamine, who had headed down for Wilson's opener, nodded in Ryang Yonggi's set piece from around the penalty spot for just his 3rd goal of the season and first since early May. Reds came again, though, and Kuroki did brilliantly to control Umesaki's cross from the right and roll Kodai Watanabe before finishing past Hayashi in the 59th minute. But after a frantic last 10 minutes of Sendai pressure, the Reds' defence was finally breached again in the second minute of stoppage time by Ishikawa, who finished first time from 10 yards after substitute Yuki Muto's low, driven cross wasn't dealt with by a line of scrambling red-shirted defenders. So 3-3 it finished, and Urawa finished the match day a point behind Yokohama and one ahead of Hiroshima. Fourth-placed Kashima took advantage of the slip-ups by the top three and moved to within 3 points of the summit, but they left it very late and were indebted to a cool, calm and collected finish by Yuya Osaku in the 92nd minute that gave them a 2-1 win at Shonan, in the process almost certainly confirming Belmare's swift return to J2. Mitsuo Ogasawara fired in a superb free kick to give Antlers the lead in the 37th minute, and the visitors held the lead until a frantic finale in which first Shonan defender Wataru Endo equalised for the hosts in the 91st minute, but then Kashima went up the other end and just seconds after losing the lead, Osaku scored for the fourth straight game. His composed finish passed Alex Santana, the Japan International's 18th of the season. Heartbreak for Shonan then, and after Kofu's win at Omiya that I'll come on to later, their survival chances are basically gone, and though they've been much improved over their last top flight stint in 2010, their relegation back to J2, which all rational J-League observers predicted back at the start of the season, will likely be confirmed in the next match day in 2 weeks' time. So that leaves the top four looking like this after match day 31. Yokohama top on 59 points with a goal difference of plus 20. Urawa have 58 plus 18. Hiroshima 57 plus 20. And incidentally, Sanfrecce have an identical number of goals scored and conceded as F Marinos. And Kashima 56 plus 10. With three games left, it's obviously too close to call, though Antlers are behind the eight ball somewhat due to their much lower goal difference. Cerezo Osaka stayed on the fringes of the title race and maintained their ACL push with a 2-1 win at FC Tokyo before a crowd of over 40,000 at Ajinomoto Stadium. In an entertaining end-to-end game, youngster Takumi Minamino smashed in a 31st-minute opener for the visitors after some slapshot defending from the Gasmen, but after the break, Tokyo made their sustained pressure pay off when Arya Hasegawa stroked in a brilliant equaliser in off the underside of Kim Jin-hyun's crossbar from 25 yards in the 70th minute. Despite Tokyo being well on top in the second half, Shuichi Gonda had come to his side's rescue a couple of times after the restart, first to stop Cerezo adding to their lead and then after the leveller, but there was nothing he could do about Yoichiro Kakitani's stunning winner 3 minutes from time. Kim's booming, perfectly arced goal kick matched Kakitani's angled run, and with Tokyo captain Masato Morishige caught on his heels, Kakitani slipped the ball first time through the advancing Gonda's legs for his 18th of the season, sealing a huge win for the visitors and sending me into a shell-shocked depression. Cerezo moved on to 53 points and have a goal difference of plus 18, 6 points off top and four behind Hiroshima, who currently occupy the third ACL spot. And you can check out the remaining fixtures for all of the top five, in which Cerezo faced three of the sides above them in the run-in, in a post on the JTalk website. If you're listening via there now, just scroll down under this podcast post and you'll find it there. Next, let's turn our attention to the foot of the table. And Iwata's first ever relegation was confirmed with three matches to play when they lost 1-0 at Tosu, who themselves confirmed their top flight survival for another season. The only goal of the game came in the 24th minute when Sagan defender Ryuhei Niwa headed in a cross from the left at the far post through the hands of Jubilo keeper Naoki Hata. And though Iwata peppered away late on, their performance matched their season as a whole, in a word, toothless, meaning that for the second straight season, a former J1 champion has been relegated for the first time in their history. Jubilo can have few complaints, as their horror season of just three league victories has seen them in the relegation zone since match day 5, and they've been mired down in 17th since match day 18. Much speculation in the off-season then will centre on whether players like Hiroki Yamada and Yuichi Komono will move on to other clubs, with Yamada a candidate for a move abroad perhaps, But those in need of a defender could do well to steer clear of Masahiko Inoha, who seems to be tainted with a relegation curse after also going down with Kobe last year. Perhaps Yasuyuki Kondo can counsel him in camp with the national team this week. After all, Kondo knows the feeling well after suffering two relegations in the past 3 years. While we're down at the bottom, I mentioned Kofu's win at Omiya earlier, which pulled Venfore 9 points and a large whack of goal difference clear of Shonan. The visitors took a 21st-minute lead through a Takumi Shimohira own goal, and 9 minutes from time, Patrick made it 2-0 with his fifth Kofu goal, all of them coming in his last 9 starts. Omiya forward Milivoje Novakovic curled in a sublime free kick from 25 yards 2 minutes into stoppage time, but it finished 2-1 as Venfore almost certainly sealed their survival, and the Squirrels lost for the 7th straight time and 15th in the last 16 games. The last two games on the slate were headlined by the two players set to battle it out for the Golden Boot, Kawasaki Yoshito Okubo and Kengo Kawamata of Niigata, and both were on target for their sides in wins. Frontale rode an Okubo brace, his second a penalty after a hilarious dive in the box, to a 2-0 home win over Shimizu, giving Okubo 24 for the season and taking his side back to 6th, and Kawamata grabbed the second in Albedex's 3-1 win at Oita in a game that featured one of the strangest goals you'll see in a month of Sundays. With the game scoreless in the 13th minute, a Niigata set piece ended in the hands of Oita keeper Keisuke Shimizu, who aimed a low, driven punt downfield, only for the ball to hit Albedex striker Tatsuya Tanaka on the backside and rebound into the net. Oita equalised in the 40th minute through a cracking strike from first-year player Masaya Matsumoto, but a minute before the break, that man Kawamata netted his 21st of a remarkable season before Niigata's other Tanaka, Atom, wrapped up the points 12 minutes into the second half to take the Swans up to 8th. After a weekend off for national team fixtures and the 4th round of the Emperor's Cup, J1 will resume on November 23rd with match day 32. In the top 5, Yokohama visit already relegated Iwata, 2nd-placed Urawa host Kawasaki, 3rd-placed Hiroshima visit Cerezo Osaka in the game of the match day, 4th-placed Kashima host Tosu, and down at the foot of the table, Shonan's relegation will be confirmed if they fail to beat FC Tokyo or Kofu take a point or 3 at home against Oita. And speaking of the national team, the Samurai Blue will be in action in Belgium in 2 friendlies in the coming days. And in last week's squad announcement, manager Alberto Zaccheroni recalled Kashima's Yuya Osako and FC Tokyo's Hideto Takahashi for the ties against Holland in Genk on the 16th and Belgium in Brussels on the 19th. Manabu Saito was a late withdrawal from the squad, with Takashi Inui called up in his place. So aside from Saito, Mike Havanar was the only player from the squad that faced Serbia and Belarus last month to not be selected. And in the Emperor's Cup 4th round, the 5 all J1 ties will be played on Saturday the 16th. They are, with home teams named first, Kashiwa vs Oita at neutral Okayama, Cerezo Osaka vs Tosu, Shimizu vs Sendai, Omiya vs FC Tokyo, and Kashima vs Hiroshima, while the other 3 games will take place next Wednesday the 20th. Yokohama vs JFL champions Nagano, Kawasaki vs J2 Yamagata, and Kofu vs J2 Sapporo in neutral Kumamoto. Alright, I'll pause for just a second and be back to round up J2 Match Day 40. There are just 2 games remaining in the J2 season after match day 40 was played last Sunday, and Gamba Osaka moved to the brink of being crowned champions of the second tier after they won 2-0 at Kyoto and Kobe lost 1-0 away to Sapporo. Gamba are now on 83 points, 4 clear, and a win in either of their final 2 games will see them take the title. But Kobe's blow was softened by Kyoto's loss, which saw them claim the 2nd automatic promotion spot. In the playoff places, Kyoto are still sitting pretty in 3rd on 70 points and need just a point from the last 2 to lock up a home playoff semi-final, with a win in either game guaranteeing them the home advantage for the playoff final. In inverted commas, of course, the final will be played at Tokyo's National Stadium, if they make it through the semi-final, of course. Nagasaki are almost certainly in the playoffs after a 2-0 win at Chiba saw them rise above Jeff into fourth on 66 points. Chiba have 64 and Tokushima ground out a much-needed 2-0 home win over Okayama to stay sixth and move to 63. Sapporo's win over Kobe saw them climb to seventh on 60 points, three behind Tokushima but with a better goal difference of +8 to +4 after Matsumoto's crushing late loss at home against Yamagata, who kept themselves in with a mathematical shot at the playoffs on 58 points thanks to Goshi Okubo's second of the game in the fifth minute of second half stoppage time, which gave them a 3-2 win. This game looks set to be remembered for Yamaga keeper Tomohiko Maruyama doing a Begovic when his free kick from the edge of his own 18-yard box caught the breeze, bounced about 25 yards out and sailed over his opposite number Satoshi Tokizawa, playing the role of Arta Boric, and into the net. But Okubo's late intervention means that Matsumoto, who have 60 points but the worst goal difference in the top 10, will be licking their wounds all week. Tochigi SC stayed in the hunt in ninth on 59, but it was squeaky bum time at the Tochigi Green after the hosts almost blew a 3-0 lead against Kitakyushu, ultimately hanging on 3-2. Below Yamagata, the playoff hopes of Okayama and Tokyo Verde were finally extinguished. Okayama lost to Tokushima, as I mentioned, and Verde went out with a whimper, managing just 5 shots in a 1-0 loss at Mito. At the foot of the table, the bottom two were both at home and both came from behind to earn 1-1 draws. 21st-placed FC Gifu pegged back Ehime FC and cellar dwellers Tottori recovered from falling behind in just the third minute to grab a point against Gunma, who themselves guaranteed their J2 survival for another season. And with the weekend's results in the JFL confirming Nagano as third-tier champions, we now know for definite that the bottom team in J2, with Tottori currently 4 points adrift of Gifu with 2 to play, will face a home-and-away playoff, actually the other way round, with JFL runners-up Kamatamare Sanuki. J2 Matchday 41 will be played on Sunday, November 17th. In the games of importance, Gunma Osaka can wrap up the second-tier title and at the same time extinguish Yamagata's playoff hopes at Bunpaku. Kobe will be hoping for a Gunma slip-up to keep their championship hopes alive when they visit Gunma. Kyoto visit Mito looking to wrap up that home playoff advantage. Nagasaki host Matsumoto in a massive game. Chiba entertaining Tochigi is also huge in the playoff picture, while Tokushima could wrap up a playoff spot if they win at Tokyo Verde. Sapporo visit FC Gifu, that game important at both ends of the table, obviously Sapporo pushing on for a playoff spot and FC Gifu knowing that they could wrap up their J2 survival with a win. Bottom club Tottori have a hard road to hoe indeed and they visit Kitakyushu, knowing that they need to win to keep the relegation dogfight going into the final match day. And that's it then for another episode of the J-Talk podcast. I'll be back next week with a review of Japan's trip to Belgium. Speak to you next week. Bye for now.